I'm Fast Eddie.
I'm Digital Dave.
Ooh, ate you something today.
Yes.
Hey, we got one of our favorite people in here with us this morning. We've got Barnaby Wayne Fan. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. It is truly wonderful to be back at the studio with you.
Oh, you flatter us so much.
You've missed your time in lockdown,
you know,
right?
You guys are still you guys, but I missed you.
Wow. Okay.
See,
talk about setting a low bar.
Help.
Yes. All right. Now, a lot of people may know that you built the original Facet Mobile, which was like the poor man's F-117.
Well, I mean, I didn't think of it that way, but yes, you know, lifting body.
Right. Lifting body.
Very
you
can't light
figure
experimental
out what holds
airplane.
It up.
Yep. Oh, well, the air holds it up in relatively conventional ways. It just, you have to be able to look at it the right way to know that.
Right, right. You just got to use your imagination. But anyway.
It is slightly unconventional.
Very.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, you're building its bigger brother?
Yeah. I mean, I've just recently, you know, I've been developing two-place successor. I mean, it was always a plan to do a two-place airplane. As with lots of home-built projects, we're a little behind schedule.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, I've been evolving the concept over many years, and I've just started actually making parts, cutting metal on what I call the FMX-7, which is a facet mobile concept-based light sport, two-seater.
Now, it's the 7, not the 2. What happened to the other 5?
Oh, okay. Well, my convention is I give a number, an FMX, and, you know, because facet mobile experiment number, to each hull shape.
Oh.
And so the original 7 Whiskey Delta, the original facet mobile, is actually FMX-4.
Okay.
The two-seater that I thought I was going to build immediately after was 5, and 5 never got built as a personal airplane, but a scaled-down version actually became a balloon-launched UAV system called high-altitude shuttle system that's still operational.
Nice.
NASA's flying them. 6 was a design study for someone that never went anywhere, so here we are at 7. And like I said, it's an LSA, and what I'm trying to do is to take all the advantages of this low aspect ratio lifting body concept and wrap it up into what I think will be a great airplane for me and personal pilots, you know, for private flying.
Sounds good to me.
I'm in.
Now, this is kind of an aside question.
Yeah.
You've been in engineering a long time.
Yep.
The tools have advanced so much, especially the quality and power of the tools available to the average person.
Yeah.
How much has that helped you in this design process?
Quite a bit, actually. And you know, it's more on the manufacturing side because, you know, there's some guys in Independence, Oregon, at EAA Chapter 292, and we talked about this a few years ago, who are building a replica of the original Facet Mobile.
Right.
And that airplane, I'm happy to say, is on the gear, covered, engines running. Probably, you know, I mean, but for the unfortunate world events, it probably would have flown last year, but I think they'll probably get it flying this year. But one of the things they pioneered and I'm working with was they laid out the entire structure in SolidWorks, in CAD, and then they have literally homemade NC machinery to cut all the parts. And we're doing the same thing with FMX-7. So the tubes and the gussets come off the machine, cut perfectly to size and shape with the Clico holes in it already, so you can Clico it all up. And that's marvelous. The number of hours of bandsawing and filing that takes out of the project is huge.
Yeah. Plus, you can make revisions a lot quicker.
The revisions actually take just almost as much time because you have to do it in the computer.
Right.
But, yeah, if you mismake a part, you can make another one real quick. If you mess up a part, you can make another one real quick. And the other thing that I really love about it is it's repeatable.
Right.
So once you get the first one working, you can make more relatively easily. Whereas, you know, if you handcraft something and you want to build another one, you got to handcraft the next one.
Same amount of time.
So, yeah, that's really a cool thing. And, you know, the same Robert Haynes, the same guy who did a lot of the NC work for the replica Facet Mobile, is working with me on the 7.
Okay, what are the major design goals of the FMX-7?
Well, the FMX-7 is intended to be a great light sport airplane. Fundamentally.
Okay.
So it's aimed at the pilot who is the light sport pilot, the person who flies mostly day at VFR, mostly, you know, medium, short to medium length. And so if you take a look at it, what you end up with is an airplane, first of all, Stall and spin resistant, lots of room in the cockpit. And the real cool thing about the low aspect ratio shapes is you can build the airplane very light. And if you can get the performance out of it, that means you can get a lot of useful load. And that's something that I've been thinking about a lot because, you know, if you look at the sizes and weights of humans.
Yeah, I'm not getting any lighter.
Well, I mean, individual humans can sometimes get lighter if you put a lot of work into it. I mean, I've done that for myself. But on average, you know, if you go back to the FARs at the time, a lot of the airplanes we fly now were certified. The FAA considered a standard weight human 170 pounds. Well, I did some looking just recently at the anthropomorphic data for the U.S. and the 50th percentile upper middle-aged American male, approaching 40 American male, is 195 pounds.
Wow.
And the 75th percentile is 225 pounds.
Okay, so, now you're making me feel bad.
Okay, but here's the point. If I take 275th percentile guys, which is not an unreasonable number of thing to design to as your crew. You know, they're not the biggest people, but 75th percentile. 275th percentile guys and 25 gallons of avgas is 608 pounds.
And there you go.
Okay. And, you know, because light sport has the 1320-pound max gross, it doesn't leave you all that much for the airframe. And if you look at the history, actually, of some LSAs, I mean, there's some really good ones out there. But there are some that essentially failed in the marketplace because they didn't have enough useful load. They were otherwise good airplanes. And what's sad is even for some of them, they probably had the performance to fly at higher gross weights. But it was not legal from a regulatory viewpoint. So the idea of being able to get that much useful load in a light sport or personal airplane is cool because, yeah, I can put full fuel and two people or one person and a lot of baggage and really have a useful airplane.
Cool. Fabric covered?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, light sport, you're limited to what's the max 132 in level flight or something like that?
120 knots cruise.
Okay.
Or max cruise, you know.
Yeah. Okay. So, sounds wonderful. And you're actually building that.
Yes.
You're making parts.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's kind of this progression I think every home builder goes through. There's the airplane I'm thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the airplane I'm thinking about building. And then there's the airplane I'm going to build. And it's kind of nice to finally be able to look you straight in the eye and say, this is the airplane I am building.
Well, I have to admit, you showed us a picture before we came in studio, and it doesn't look like an airplane. I mean, it's so unconventional.
Yeah, well, you know, what I showed you was a piece of an airplane. And, you know, hopefully, you know, by the end of the year, I will have, I call it an airplane-shaped jungle gym. I'll have all the structure put together, mm-hmm. you know, and I'll have something that looks like a weird airplane. You know,
something that's at least identifiable.
And then of course, there's all the work of doing the systems and getting it covered and all that, which is part of any building project. But we're well underway. The design is pretty much frozen. And it's getting real. And that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Now, I'm assuming the structure on this is riveted together?
Yeah. I mean, basically what I've done is to follow the same practice we did on Facet Mobile.
Okay. Cherry Max rivets, pop rivets.
Yeah, blind rivets. I mean, whether they're Cherry Max or another brand, but fundamentally that. Gussets holding together aluminum tubes. You know, and then local steel tube in some of the hard points like attach fittings and landing gear and things like engine mounts, things like that. And once again, there's two reasons for that. One is it's the lightest way to build an airplane, and the other is what the fabrication skills and fabrication equipment I have available and my personal engineering skills. I know I can do that.
Right,
a good
you're
job
familiar
of that.
With it. Right.
Yeah. So,
Barnaby, is there a website where we can follow along?
Well, first of all, I have a personal website that's waynefan.co, not .com.
Okay.
And then also I put out a newsletter, I believe that's facetmobile@tinyletter.com. But in any case, if you contact me through my website, you can subscribe to my newsletter. And that's, you know, periodic updates. When I have something reasonable to report, it shows up on the newsletter.
Well, I personally can't wait to see that thing sitting outside this building.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, you know.
Maybe we can glom a free ride.
I was going to say.
Well, yeah, I mean, now that it's a two-place, I can actually take people for a ride in a Facetmobile, and that would be a wonderful thing.
Well, I'm a 75th percentile, so we can test out your useful load.
And I'm 50, so we're
all
good.
Right.
Yeah,
Thank you.
I mean, it's just, and, you know, the other issue is making the hatch big enough, but I think we've got that covered.
All right. Thank you for joining us, Barnaby. As always, a pleasure. I'm Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.